Friends, here we are once more entering Advent, when here in the Northern Hemisphere, the earth is resting, quiet, dark, when plants and trees put their energy into their root systems for the winter, when the sap stops running. Even the turtle becomes still. So still, you might think she was no longer living. Bears are in such a deep sleep. Blood circulation and pulse have slowed so much, you could hardly detect a heartbeat. All the world around us models the rest that winter invites. The slowing and gathering in and returning to our roots. Roots of being made in the divine image, of being called good. Roots sunk down deep in the soil of boundless love. Much in our culture tends to shout down the earth's quiet reminders. As trees and creatures settle into rest and slowness, everywhere around us there's a clamor. 30, 50, and 70% off. Buy one, get one free, and hurry while supplies last. There is noise, and there are flashing lights, and a call to more and better. But also all around us, much, much more softly, our furry and aquatic neighbors, everyone out there knows there is abundant goodness. If we participate in the rhythms of our home planet, there is plenty as long as we keep sharing the goodness that passes through our hands. There is enough time. There is enough rest. We were made for these rhythms of slowing and resting, of remembering we are made of stars, and warmed by the flame of divine love always burning within us and for us. As one way of entering in, let's listen to this poem by Hafiz, a Sufi mystic living in the 14th century. I know the way you can get when you have not had a drink of love. Your face hardens, your sweet muscles cramp. Children become concerned about a strange look that appears in your eyes, which even begins to worry your own mirror and nose. Cats sense your sadness and call an important meeting in a tall tree. They decide which secret code to chant to help your mind and soul. Even angels fear that brand of madness that arrays itself against the world and throws sharp stones and spears into the innocent and into one's self. Oh, I know the way you can get if you have not been out drinking love. You might rip apart every sentence your friends and teachers say, looking for hidden clauses. You might weigh every word on a scale like a dead fish. You might pull out a ruler to measure from every angle in your darkness the beautiful dimensions of a heart you once trusted. I know the way you can get if you have not had a drink from love's hands. That is why all the great ones speak of the vital need to keep remembering God, so you will come to know and see her as being so giving and wanting, just wanting to help. That is why Hafiz says, "Bring your cup near me, for I am a sweet old vagabond with an infinite leaking barrel of light and laughter and truth that the beloved has tied to my back." Dear one, indeed, Please bring your heart near me, for all I care about is quenching your thirst for freedom. All a sane man can ever care about is giving love. Now imagine with me, if you would, a tiny apartment in North Philly, where three or four generations of a family share a bedroom and bathroom and kitchen, just like everyone else in their neighborhood. One evening, one of the daughters is finishing dishes, cleaning up. She's about 14. She turns around to find a frightening creature from another world standing in the kitchen with her. He greets her and says she is highly favored, blessed, and chosen by the Most High to have a baby who will be God's own. Sorry, what? In those first moments, was Mary really able to take in the message that she was favored and beloved? I'm guessing maybe not, since she was part terrified and part, what happened? When the initial shock wore off, maybe when she went to visit Elizabeth, maybe then she could internalize the truth that the Most High, the Creator, had come to her, a poor woman, very young, one among an oppressed people, and was asking her to partner in healing the world. Mary's life-altering encounter with the angel is like an icon, a window to show us how the Holy One is whispering to each of us. Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among men. Blessed are you in company with all of creation. Like Mary, you are one in whom God is delighted to make a home. Advent invites us to this every year, to make space again in ourselves, to be lived in by God. For God to be born within us, regardless of whether our body ever bore children or was ever able to bear children in a literal way, the Most High takes pleasure in coming alive within us. Each of us is a divine dwelling. In this crazy circumstance, encountering the living God in such a dramatic way, Mary needed to hear that she was a blessing to God. And we too need to take in this truth again and again. You are a blessing. We may think no one could be more ordinary than I am. And it is in the most ordinary ones that the sacred breathes and moves and births new life. Mary was clearly disconcerted, to say the least. Yet she managed to say yes, to give her consent to this divine invitation. We too receive invitations to consent to God's loving and healing action within us. In the most mundane moments of our day, and even in those mundane moments, they are filled with God, with divine presence, asking for our willingness and participation to partner with the Holy One toward the good of all creation. Gabriel tells Mary, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." For quite a while, that word overshadow sounded kind of scary to me. But then I learned that it calls back to imagery in the Psalms, in which God, like a mother bird, shelters God's children in the shadow of her wings. Mary and her people are living under the boot of Rome, with soldiers passing through their villages, likely dropping ethnic slurs, as the Jewish people were, as usual, a minority in the empire, and their customs poorly understood. Our Isaiah passage today is some centuries earlier, of course, but finds the people in a similar situation. They had been living in exile for some time now, almost 50 years, not quite. Some would have already died in Babylon. Some had grown up and gotten married. Some were born in exile. Maybe they'd gotten used to being unmoored and landless over those many years. But there was still a longing for home, a home that existed only in their imaginations and fading memories. When some of them did return, it was to a place changed. And amid all of these mixed feelings, the prophet tells the people they will have a chance to begin again. We too long for our home in God in the ups and downs of our lives. This seems connected with grief. When we long for the person we've lost as they were in their full strength and energy, in the ways we love to remember them. But we don't want a return to their ending or to the diminishments they suffered at the end. Knowing that we can't go back, God is calling us into the new. Always honoring the good that was, remembering how we became who we are, and also ready to move with us now in the present as we offer our trust. When God says, "I created and formed you," these words bring us and the first listeners back to the creation stories of Genesis 1 and 2. When Adonai says, "I have redeemed you and called you by name," this might have stirred listeners to remember God's presence in rescuing the people, redeeming them, bringing them out of Egypt with great power, and even calling their ancestors like Jacob and Abraham, both of whom God gave new names. "Called you by name" also carries echoes of the creation story in Genesis 2 when the human being calls to the animals to name them. In Hebrew, call and name are the same word in that passage. And through all of this, God repeats their recurring promise to be with the people. So presence and divine solidarity are primary here. "Whatever you go through, I will be with you because I love you." Maybe some of us can't help noticing that according to the prophet, the Creator is willing to give whole peoples in exchange for the exiled Israelites. This is uncomfortable at best. But remembering the first audience might help. This is spoken to a beaten down people, looking from the underside of history. It might be especially important for people whose dignity has been assaulted in the process of being forcibly removed from their country, to hear that God is still choosing them, loving them, contending for them. So maybe we can take it as, rather than making a comment on the peoples of, say, Egypt and Ethiopia and beyond, this is an expression of God's lavish love for this people. And we all need to hear this, to be reminded that the Shaper of stars sees you, knows you, loves you, and calls you by name. Perhaps Mary also felt echoes of creation when Gabriel told her that her Maker would hover over her like a mother bird. Perhaps, along with remembering the chanted psalms, she would remember the ruach, the breath, or wind, or spirit of God, hovering over the waters as the world was being born. Perhaps she also saw with amazement that the Holy One knew her name and called her blessed. Mary was agreeing to a daunting journey that called for great courage. As we also go out into what sometimes feels like wilderness, a wilderness of change and unknowing, we go also with this knowledge in our hearts and in our bones, the compassionate one, the merciful and all-loving one, loves us, continues to recreate us, calls us good, and sends us as a blessing, as a gift to all we meet. Poet and visual artist Jan Richardson often has an encouraging word, especially at the beginning of a journey. So as we begin this journey of Advent again together, receive this poem as a blessing on the way. Beloved is where we begin. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise that this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved.